Today, as we continue thinking about this season of reflection that we are in and what it means to have enough, I'm struck by the beauty of today's collect and the fact that we maybe couldn't have choice picked a collect better. And I would like for us to begin by praying it again. So let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Today we have prayed as a congregation that God grant that we may not be anxious about earthly things. And let me be the first to say that if there is a part of the collect that I would most like to omit, this is it. All throughout seminary, we are taught to be a non-anxious presence. And this is a huge bar, if you ask me. And frankly, the pressure to be non-anxious makes me anxious. A friend of mine recently in seminary, he's a Presbyterian pastor, he said to me, "I've lowered the bar to less anxious, and it is helping tremendously." The fact is that I'm an anxious person. It's in my chemistry, and I would say that it is a daily challenge that I work on. I desire to be very zen-like, but it is just not in my nature. It will not surprise you that this nature of anxiety extends to money as well. I'm a furious mixture of anxiety around money and temptation to buy clothes and shame when I plug those cute purchases into my budget, or worse, when I recognize that I went over my cute purchase budget. And so I'm thinking about that as I'm hearing this collect. And yet I'm struck by the fact that this is only part of the first sentence. The sentence continues that we would not be anxious about earthly things, but instead love things heavenly. And this actually brightens the mood for me, as I'm reminded that God's desire is not to chastise me for my anxiety around money, but instead to redirect my life toward that which will bring me my greatest joy and that which will further God's kingdom. And I'm reminded that God's desire is not only to convict me for my actions, but also to hear my confession around those decisions, and then to forgive me and to send me back out into the world as a person who, at least for a little while, until I mess up again, is rightly ordered in heart and maybe rightly ordered in budget. And this collect is quick to recognize that as of right now, we are placed among things that are passing away. And I think that this is something that I would say to you is a truth, but that I also struggle with because it's awful abstract to me. This could be in part because this world is all I have ever known, so it feels like everything. And as I thought about this line of the collect, I asked myself, if everything I have is God's, then what of what is here is something that God might actually want to keep? In other words, if God had one box and we walked through my apartment to fill it together with things that truly mattered, what would God want to keep? And I was a bit shocked to realize that I could only name a very few things in a very full room. Those things were my prayer book, pictures of my family and my closest friends, my Bible, some letters from loved ones over the years, as well as my friends, special books that I felt had really changed my life, the journals that I had written in since teenage years, and very special small gifts from friends and family. But in the grand scheme of the room, there were really only a few things. Collect continues to say that we should hold fast to to those things that shall endure. And as I pictured the fictitious box that God and I had filled together, it felt very clear to me that God wasn't telling me to not have any things, but that God wanted me to have things that either met my immediate needs or that helped me love better. The common thread between the things on the list that I made is that they all helped me and encouraged me to love God and to love my family and my friends better. These were also things, the prayer book and the Bible, to name a few, that called me into relationship with the great needs of the larger world. They reminded me of what God might be asking me to give. And some of the letters reminded me, when I was frustrated with that person, of how much that person truly loved me and how much I truly loved that person. I felt like I knew then that it wasn't about hating things or having things. It was about my connection to other people and my connection to God. And certainly, sometimes being connected to God and connected to others might require things. And I feel silly saying that to you because of the room I stand in. And in our personal lives, it may not be an altar, it may not be a chalice or a paten, but it might be a plate where we would serve food to another person that we have welcomed into our home, an opportunity to connect to God and to one another. And in those moments of connection where our things, our vessels, where we worship and where we have community, those things were not bought for their own sake. Their purpose and their worthiness leads us to a different end, an end in love and companionship, an inkling in these things about that which shall endure. And what was also moving was that I actually walked around my apartment and I kind of gathered up those things that I had thought of. Some journals full of notes that I had written and so forth and so on. And I realized that if you were to put a dollar figure on the things that meant most to me in the world, the sum would actually be quite small. Pictures stored in Walmart frames from high school, letters and cards in a cheap manila folder, things that I had received at no cost to myself, but that came with what felt like eternal joys. The benefits of lasting relationships, companionship, and a deep love for others that participates in the great love of God. And then what struck me is that the things that I've honestly spent the most money on, I would be ashamed to suggest were things that mattered if Jesus was standing beside me holding a box. My phone, my MacBook, my iPad, my fabulous earring collection, which I'm confessionally saying to you. All of those things were things that I would not have placed in the box. And I refuse to believe that anyone is evil simply because they have things, even things that we wouldn't quite want to put in the box before Jesus. I do, however, believe that I have to be conscious of what my relationship is to these things, and whether that relationship with things maybe obstructing my opportunity to have a relationship with other people and a deeper relationship with God. When the disciples were walking on the way, they are arguing about who is the greatest. And Jesus sits them down, and immediately his teaching is that whoever wants to be first of all must be servant of all. If Jesus is teaching it to the disciples, I have to believe he is teaching it to me as well. And I'm struck by how hard it would seem to be servant of all. In the day-to-day of my life, how could I possibly be a servant of all? And though I may not be able to say I served each and every individual person, I wonder if through intentionality, I may be able to say that all, or most, or even some of my dollars serve not only my own needs, but also the desires, plans, and purposes of God. I will surely fail at this, but it would seem that there is a way for me to hear Jesus' teaching today about being servant of all, and not immediately turn it into a philosophy or a theology, and not turn it into something that can only happen in the fullness of time, or only happen during the second coming. Maybe instead, with an appropriate lack of pomp and circumstance, I'm able to be servant of all at a grocery store, or through my Amazon account, or by not entering North Park in the first place. Lord, help me to not be anxious about earthly things, and instead to love things heavenly. And even now, while I am placed among things that are passing away, help me to seek out and invest my time and my money into those things and people that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.